DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James. That's Danny.
Woo!
And that's Samantha.
Hi.
Her hello was much better than yours.
Yeah, I know.
So last week, Danny and I, we did not do a podcast, but Danny and I did do something that was awesome.
Yeah.
We did a first viewing commentary of Lords of Chaos.
And it was badass.
Well, the movie was the
commentary. Leaves a lot to be desired, yeah. But you know. You know what you signed up for if you're listening.
This is all loose and shit. I'll have to fix that. So when Danny showed up, Danny and I are both suffering from shoulder aches and pains.
Uh-huh.
Danny actually went to the doctor. I had to go home kind of early from work today because I can't move my arm. And we decided that it just really sucks getting old. So
it is not for the weak.
We have decided that we need to become immortals.
Uh-huh.
And Danny wants to fondle some dragon's balls.
I do. Because apparently you get a wish out of it.
But I want to go the vampiric route.
Again, there's so many stipulations. You can't be out during daylight hours.
Yeah,
you
but okay.
Fucking. And to be fair, and this is my honest bitch, technically speaking, if the sun's radiation is what causes vampires to burn up and cook, then they could never go outside at all. Because even at nighttime, we're being bombarded by solar radiation from the sun. So again, my thought process on vampires is, okay, you get to stay indoors your entire existence, and then when you walk outside, you literally have to have somebody carry you in a lead box to keep the radiation off of you.
I don't think it's the radiation.
So it would make hunting really, really shitty.
I don't think it's the sun's radiations that do it.
Yeah, I mean, and at that rate, well, okay, so if it's not the radiation, it's the heat or the light? But even the moonlight's reflecting sunlight, so...
Yeah, but it's not direct. It's a reflection of... Don't you hem and haw.
A flashlight on a mirror still lights up a room around a corner, you know what I mean?
I think it's a... I honestly think it's a specific light in the spectrum of light that the sun generates that...
Again, the same problem would persist.
But... It also depends on the kind of vampire we're going for, because if we're going for Twilight, you're fine.
Well,
you just
yeah.
get a little sparkly in the sun.
And moody, I guess, but...
Yeah, but...
I don't know
really
if I want to be that
moody. All vampires are moody.
Yeah. I
mean,
know.
Count Dracula was as moody as they fucking come.
Yeah, but at least he was vicious about it.
He was bipolar is what he was.
I'll give you that. That's fair. That is a fair
but
assessment.
But that aside... That aside, what's really happening in the day that you're gonna miss?
Well, there's quite a bit of stuff I like to do during the day, but more so to the point, another issue I have, how could you really call yourself immortal if some old fart with a fucking wood stick can put you out your misery? That doesn't
okay.
seem like immortal.
If you're a vampire worth your salt, that no one's gonna you know age, you're though. A vampire.
Well,
you're going on one myth.
Well, to be fair, it was, you know, kind of the start of this whole mythos thing.
Essentially, yeah, but I mean, there's so many branches of that mythos.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I guess my big issue with vampires is, although they are...
You just don't want to drink blood. Just admit it.
No, I had never had a problem with that, honestly.
Which
that
means
would be
you and Menstrata will never get along.
What are you talking about? She's like an ever-flowing chalice of yum-yums.
Exactly.
Shark Week.
Okay, you made it weird.
Isn't that what we do here?
No, we make it awkward. You made it weird.
A vampire menstruata, it's like, dude, yeah, it's the ever-flowing chalice right there. I mean, come on.
So great. She says bow to me and they do.
Okay. Dinner time. Yeah, that's gross.
But one of the things we brought up was the hunting. And I said that there are many, many people in this world that do not deserve life. Congress and the administration of the United States alone would have you fed for a good couple of years.
Man, I brought up bloodsuckers for the bloodsuckers.
Which I think is what we'll title the show. But Samantha, what would be your preferred method of immortality?
Samantha wants to be a wizard.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a wizard brew or a witch's brew or something like that.
Like the Philosopher's Stone brew or something like that?
Yeah, you know, like Disney Princess Cursed, you know, only not the sleeping kind, but, you know, I punish you with living forever. So.
All right. So old witch makes you immortal by sheer default. She hates you enough to make you live forever. Interesting.
Well, that's a pretty effective punishment because then you have to suffer
everything,
mm-hmm. but watching through the people you care about age and die while you remain.
But at the same time, wouldn't it be kind of nice?
Outlive the people you
hate? No, no, no. What I'm trying to bring up is actually a thought process that I had when I was at work. I was like, if you lived forever, and let's say you'd already been on this planet for 600 years, which, you know, to be fair, that's like at least 7 good lifetimes. At one point or another, I mean, I'm sure you would go through your stints of depression because, well, you know, woe is me, everybody I love dies and I get to stick around. But at some point or another, wouldn't you start to see the joy in the mundane day?
I mean, I think you would rotate, you know, you would switch between the two.
Eventually, yeah.
It's sort of like something repetitive that's really funny and then it's not funny anymore and then it comes back around to being funny again.
Kind of, but more so to the point where if you'd seen it all, if you'd experienced it all, let's be real, even if you are immortal, you probably will have to work a job until you fake your death and collect your retirement and all that shit and just mm-hmm. start a new job later on. But the thing about it would be is you would go through every type of work day there ever was, from the worst possible work day where everyone's just being a screaming bitch to the best work days where people just, you know, let you do your thing, everyone's in a good mood, and the workflow just flies through. Wouldn't it actually, to some degree, become enjoyable to go to work, seeing how the day was going to bring a new version of that experience? Even though you'd seen it 100 times play out, the scenario over and over again, the players are always different, the scenarios are always different, the problems are always slightly different. So in that, could you find joy in what we would consider mundane and boring?
Anyone?
Well, yeah, I mean, I still say the exact same thing as you would, and then you wouldn't, and then you would, and then you wouldn't again. Because at some point, even though it's a different variation of the same thing, it's still the same thing.
That's true.
See, I think the most interesting aspect of the whole thing would be being able to reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to be the same asshole throughout
these
eons. No, and you don't have to go across the world to do it. I mean, you say you start here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
You live out here 20, 30 years mm-hmm. until people start to notice that, you know, you're just not aging. And then you create a, you know, mortal accident and disappear, and you just move down to Kay Falls or something for a while.
Yeah, grow a beard, sport a man bun, wear skinny jeans. Yeah, just kind of change your whole outfit.
That's your thing? Or
well, because most people either look at you and, oh, geez, and just turn away in disgust, which,
but
that, you know,
yeah, I mean,
keeps
but
you...
it's like... You could essentially live through every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
you could live a super, super poor
existence. Yeah, you could be a vagrant.
And then the next place you go to, you could become uber rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be a complete asshat like Trump, or you could be super rich and just give everything away.
Mm-hmm. Because you're just kind of resetting the timeline at that point for yourself. Because I would imagine at one point or another, I mean, even working a job for 20, 30 years, if you never age or at least get good at some sort of prosthetic makeup to make yourself look older, people are going to start catching on, so you'll have to leave the job.
Yeah, that's something I've always thought about.
Well, and here's the other thing. In this day and age, the hardest thing about, you know, changing towns and everything and reinventing yourself is photographs.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere without being taped or photographed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, you could have gotten away with it for the first 2,000 years of, you know, civilized existence, but
at this point, no, being immortal is, yeah, I mean, you're
on the spot all the time, and yeah, everyone's seen your face once, and they just don't know it, but when they meet you, they're like, I've seen you before.
30 years ago, I saw you. You look exactly the same.
Must have been my grandfather. He was pretty hot back then. Again, and you'd almost have to do that too. And it's like, if you want to establish this massive amounts of wealth, then what you would basically do is create yourself a family bloodline that's just you.
Well, that's what you would have to do for at least two generations of your immortality is develop... you'd have to essentially rob and steal and whatever you need to do to accrue a massive amount of wealth, mm-hmm, that will sustain you throughout eternity.
Which, again, is...
And you're talking more than two generations to do that.
True, but what I'm saying is it's like if you establish yourself with, you know, in the stupidest sense, like let's say, for instance, you took over a gold mine, a literal gold mine, and you amassed this wealth through the gold mine, and at some point, let's say 40 years later.
Yeah, but you're talking in the past.
Later,
at this point...
Well, at this point,
if you become... We have to establish that a wizard comes and grants us
curses.
Immortality from this moment onward.
Ugh.
Yeah. You would have to do the worst possible shit in order to accrue a decent amount of, let's call it, seed money to establish your eternal bloodline, quote unquote.
But the only nice thing about that would be, and now I'm under the impression that our immortality also comes with our eternal lock in facial look. Like, we don't age.
See,
we
that
don't...
sucks, because I don't want to start with this.
Oh, you poor bastard. But the thing about it is it's like...
Can I get a mulligan first?
Well, and the cool part about it is, although you'd be immortal, are you immune to bodily damage? Because you can live forever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can heal like you're normal, or it maybe means you...
So, yeah, if you, like, lose a limb, is what you're saying?
Yeah, would it grow back, or would it just be fucking gone? Because we don't grow them back naturally.
Well, I would venture to say, in this fantastical little journey that we're going
we're
on...
We're setting the rules, ladies and gentlemen. We're setting the rules.
That, yes. Yes, we are setting the rules. So, okay, I'm really curious as to what kind of life you're living where you're just losing limbs left and right.
Just saying, weird shit happens, okay? Car accidents happen to the immortals too, and they still get bodily maimed beyond reason and should, by all accounts, die, but they wouldn't. But I want to know if they heal like Deadpool, or do they just stay alive and their wounds heal, but the scars take, like, fucking decades to go away like they do.
I would say this, that we are locked in as we are now.
Damn it.
I know.
So but, we're super healers?
But yeah, like, so let's put it this way. If you went in to get a haircut, by the time you walked out of there, it would be back to the length that you went in. That's what we're talking about.
Boo.
Samantha's like, oh, great. Never
have to cut my fucking hair again. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, God damn it, I can't get hair plugs or nothing to fill in those fucking dark patches.
Nope.
I guess I'm going to do the spray can of...
Yeah, you're stuck. But it also means that you can't get any cosmetic surgery or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can't lose weight. Whatever you're at right now is what you're at.
God, I should shave before she does
this. True Blood, the redhead girl. Can't remember her name, but she died a virgin and was turned a virgin, and her hymen grows back every time.
Wah, wah.
Oh, that's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, she would be a fucking all-star on the black market.
I mean, that's how she accrues her wealth, you know? I don't know if it is, but... Jeez.
She doesn't like that talk.
Not at all.
Well, no, I moved and made a noise, and she thought it was the door, God forbid.
Goodness gracious. But yeah, okay, so
outside.
Under those pretenses that we are super healers, we would never, you know, sustain enough bodily injury to actually die, I would live out this life until, you know, all the people I knew and loved initially died, and then I would just become the world's worst supervillain ever. Try to fucking stop me. Give me the life imprisonment. Feed me for the rest of the... Oh, wait. It's only 60 years. I'll be out. And I'll still look like this. And you can't stop me. And then there's going to come a point where it's like, I'm going to get back out and I'm going to keep doing the same shit.
Yeah, but they're
going to
love you in
not?
Prison because your ass hymen heals all the time.
Additionally, I can't sustain a shank and be killed, so you better make sure it puts me at least out. But it's one of those
things,
too.
They don't need
to
put you out. They just need to hold you down.
Again, it comes down to how much of a super villain would you want to become? Being a superhero is awesome, but to be fair, it's very circumstantial in the respects you have to know where bad shit's going down in order to be a hero.
I want to be a super villain like Trump.
See, and I want to be a super villain like a fucking comic book super villain. I want to rob banks and then I want to...
He's
actually
done it.
You know what I would do? You know what I would do? I take it all back. I take it all back. I would become the world's best super soldier, because they would train me how to be more proficient, and I could never die, which means I could always go in first, which means I could always exact my viewpoints on how this battle should go down. And again, they would train me. I would become essentially a monster of skill, technique, and, well, immortality. So what battle could I lose?
You just want the spandex and the shield,
fuck,
don't you?
Yes, I do. Fuck yes. But again, it's one of those things, if you're immortal to the point where you cannot sustain bodily injury that will last, I mean, fuck it, why not, dude? You get. I would ride a nuke once just to see what it was like.
I'd become the crocodile hunter, man. Come on, Stingrays, bring it the fuck on.
Come on, motherfuckers. But again, it's like...
But,
I would have fun with
just
both
because,
of those.
Just because you can't die from an injury doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
Oh, I'm sure it hurt like a motherfucker, but again, that's why it would become very valuable to know what the hell I'm doing. But at the same time, I could take 5 or 6 shots to the chest and still fucking plug motherfuckers while sitting there going, God damn it, now I gotta wait for this stupid shit to feel out. You know, crying and weeping, peeing myself because it still hurts, and rocking back and forth.
Somebody take these bullets out. They fucking hurt.
I don't want it. Again, but eventually it would get to a point like
Danny,
later that day.
Danny, is this your foot? Yeah, but I got one coming back in.
Again, it would open up the possibilities. It's like, you never really think about it.
I bet it feels huge in this hand.
And again, it's one of those things where it's like there are so many different fields of operation you could do with immortality like that under your belt. Now, if you were the immortal type where a part of you gets to survive. So you could literally be a head just on a pedestal, and the rest of your body will never grow back. So you're just, you're fucked. That would be horrible, because then I would lead a very, very protected life. I mean, in the respects, if I knew that if I lost a finger, I wasn't going to get it back, I'd be really inclined to make sure that I kept all limbs and toes over the next centuries. Because, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, but it'd be great conversation pieces.
Either I'd end up in, like, a shrine, the immortal Danny, you know, this must be God's gift, while I'm sitting there going, not.
I lost this foot in Da Nang.
I'd end up on some creepy billionaire's collector shelf next to his occult books. Like, God damn it, you can't summon anybody with me.
Your head would be in the jar next to Trump's, and he'd be your only conversation partner.
See? Hell. Hell. At least he couldn't do the stupid fucking accordion thing with his arms.
What would you do, Samantha?
I would not want to be a science experiment, so I would not offer myself up as some sort of, you know, super soldier.
Because you're smart.
Oh, no, I'm saying just straight up enlist. Just normal enlist, going through boot camp, the normal everyday shit.
Yeah, but eventually, though. Eventually, they'd go.
They'd catch on.
He's done all this shit, and he's been shot, bombed, nuked, and he's still looking, well, as ugly as he was when he started, but.
And I know they would catch on eventually, but again, you're immortal, so I would imagine.
Yeah, but then you're locked at that point. Then you're just locked in a cage forever while they fucking experiment on you.
Hmm? Yeah.
Until time ends.
Yeah, that could be a drawback. But again,
so you don't get to, you get to do maybe 10 battles before they go, you know what? There's something weird about this guy. Lock his ass up.
Hey, and don't lift a gift horse in the mouth, motherfucker.
You don't get to experience immortality. You just get to be in a small room for the rest of eternity.
So it's sounding like I need to just go the supervillain route and just blow shit up and just smile and laugh at myself.
And again, eventually they would catch on. Because if you get caught and get sent to prison, someone's going to notice
technically speaking,
don't age over...
I don't have to eat... or drink to survive, because immortality without bodily injury also means my organs run independently without sustenance. So I'd like to see them catch me, because I can run anywhere. I could live in the desert, and I'd be all right, because dehydration wouldn't be a problem. Starvation wouldn't
be an
issue.
Again, in this day and age with drones and shit.
I bet I could figure out where Atlantis is. Because, again, nothing's stopping me from going into the deepest bowels of the ocean, except for some pressure would probably suck. But you get used to it. Just got to let them ears pop, you know. Oh, fucker.
That, and it's really dark, and eventually you're not going to know if you're going up or down.
My mag light. God damn it. Fucking thing's supposed to work underwater. Fuck!
I think I was going down.
Worst infomercial ever.
So back to Samantha and her immortality.
I'm not 100%. I'd probably kind of, I'd travel a lot. I'd hermit it up really good. Accruing wealth would be something that you would need to do to maintain some sort of anonymity. And the less you're, you know, because you can create several different lives for yourself. Like, I wouldn't be too hung up on what you guys were saying about you need to like about social media and people seeing there's photos, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, Keanu Reeves, there's those, you know, those really old paintings that, you know, is his doppelgangers and stuff. So, I mean,
yeah,
shit happens. I think that we're so inundated with information now that it's not that big of a deal if you have multiple generations that look alike.
Right.
So you have the – and people just don't care. We're all so self-obsessed, and it's not going to get any better. I foresee that getting – worse and worse. You know, people aren't going to notice things because it's all about you, yourself, you know, me, myself, and I. So I just think people just wouldn't notice if you're just living your life and doing your thing. Then you move on, you know, start a new career. Like you said, reinvention. I would probably keep writing, and I'd probably just have a bunch of names, and then I would retire from my publisher before.
See, that's how Samantha would earn her fortune. Living. She just keeps writing, but every few years, that version of Samantha dies, and she creates a new.
What you have is a writer who does co-writing on your last book, and the co-writer gets most of the credit for the book, and then that's your new pen name.
And then, well, it's not even that. Like, you retire from your publisher, you disappear. I mean, you know, there's plenty of authors that put out one or two great pieces. They live off of that, and then they're never heard from again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, see, I think honestly, she's got the best thing, because you never do interviews for your books. You just keep pumping out story after story after story. Eventually, one of them's going to hit.
Yeah, but then people do like to talk to the author, if only mildly.
Yeah, but you
can.
Well, you don't have to.
You can just say, you know, you can just put out, especially at this point, you could just put out a prepared statement and just, I am an extreme agoraphobe and introvert, and I only communicate via email.
No, yeah. Through paper mail.
Laura Hillenbrand, current author, she has like chronic fatigue syndrome, and it takes her years to write one book, which kind of sucks because she's a great writer and I love her books. But then at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but it's your body. You work at your pace. So, you know, it's a matter of setting that expectation. You know, I don't do X, Y, and Z.
That's fair.
You can put that in your contract. You
and that
put,
builds
you know,
the mystique around, you know, her author.
Yeah. Again, I feel like there would come a time where you wouldn't be able to escape it. Like, it's kind of the Cartman South Park amusement park thing. The more you tell people they can't come in, the more they want to come in.
It
well,
doesn't
you know,
matter what
then
they
you know
want.
What you do. Well, you it's, know what you do what is you hire allow. Is you hire some model slash actress to be your face.
Yeah.
They sign a non-disclosure agreement, and they don't have to know anything about you. Just, hey, I don't want to do this, but I need a face.
See, I think even just, you know, it doesn't matter how much people want it. You know, to get
yeah,
into
you don't
your
have
world.
To do anything.
You don't have to let them.
I'm not under, as a writer, as an author, I'm not under any obligation to anyone. I don't owe you anything. Just because you like my work does not mean I have to come out and greet you. That doesn't mean anything. Like my work or don't, like me or don't. You know, I am under zero obligation to you to do anything. So I don't have to do it.
And I think that's where a lot of people who would, you know, use the immortality card would fall into, you know, fall prey to their own hubris, because they would, every so often, you'd want to be the famous person.
Yeah.
And I think that's where your downfall. I think the more you stay out of the limelight, like Samantha says.
Well, and again, good prosthetics is worth its weight in gold. I mean, to some degree, you can get away with having people believe that, yeah, you wrote these books, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and the picture on the back jacket is you super young, but your makeup artist is a really good fucking guy, and he makes you look 30 or 40 years older. And so when you do show up in public and you do that interview, people think, God damn, he's old. He's probably going to drop dead tomorrow. And then sure shit enough, maybe you do by the news accounts. Because let's be honest, all the celebrities we've ever heard of who've passed away, none of us have actually seen the corpse.
See, so I think every one of my deaths would be a tragic fire, because then, like, so bad you couldn't even identify dental records. But there was a body there. He lived alone. It had to be him.
Yeah.
See, I think you guys are overthinking it. I think people would not even, they would be like, oh, cool, doppelganger, and they'd move on. They wouldn't even notice.
To some degree, but there would be after so many centuries that pass, especially
and so
with
many
social
doppelgangers
media, And considering the fact that we are becoming much more recordable, I guess would be the best way.
Connected,
recordable, walking into a store, their security yep. cameras are fairly high def. It would get to a point where it would take only a couple of people to connect the dots, and then that news would go out, and maybe it gets picked up, maybe it doesn't, but if it does,
well, I think
now you got everybody
looking
out for that guy.
The people who connect the dots are going to be generally conspiracy theorists, and they're not going to be
generally,
really
but if they've got the like solid proof to back it up, I mean, mm-hmm. if they've got video
yeah.
to back it up, and there's a significant gap.
Mm-hmm.
What?
There's more validity to
facial be had. Recognition is going to get better as time goes on. So eventually it's going to be, it's like, no, it's not a doppelganger. It's exact.
Yeah, this motherfucker is down to his DNA. This is the same dude. And again, like right now,
so the best thing to do is to stay behind closed doors, like Samantha said.
Or stay the fuck mm-hmm. out in the middle of the fuck nowhere woods or something. But yeah, I mean...
Which is where I want to live as a non-immortal. So of course I'd want to live in the middle of nowhere as an immortal.
I guess. But yeah, I mean, at that rate, it would become more valuable to be off the grid. Because, like, right now, you could be immortal, and you could still get by with minimal people noticing or even giving a shit. But again, in 30, 40 years, maybe 50 years, our tech is going to get so much higher and so much stronger and so much cleaner. I mean, just look in the 20 years from the 80s to now, our video technology. And,
well,
you know, it's only
getting
better.
Well, I think actually you stepped on the key to it all a little earlier, and it's just, if you're going to go out, prosthetics.
Yeah.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Just mess around with that. Within a generation to two generations, you're going to be a master at that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if you keep up on the technologies and you learn the technologies and you adapt as that craft adapts, you will always be ahead.
Yeah.
And every so often, you could become a prosthetic artist for movies and shit.
Right, right. Except my Oscar with the fucking cane.
Which builds you a lot of money.
And again, it's one of those things
where
you could do something like that, and that would be easy as fuck. Well,
yeah.
It would be a lot of work.
And really, the three key areas that you would need to pay attention to...
DNA.
And it's just so subtle. Brows, nose, wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good enough. However, I would
say... Sometimes change your chin.
Yeah, occasionally your
chin,
throw
a contact in or so you can walk around without sunglasses on.
Well, even... I mean, it doesn't matter your eye color.
No.
But the three or four key points on a face,
mm-hmm.
brow line, nose, chin, and hair.
Mm-hmm.
You master those, you can go city to city in the same... And we're just giving all these criminals go. No, repeat that. What was that again?
So prosthetic makeups. Okay, got it. Thanks, guys.
I could be a super villain now.
Right? Well, and again, it's one of those things where I would like the idea of pulling off the super sneaky heist where you could, in theory, get away without anyone actually tailing you if you did it right. But if they did, either you outrun them, or you pretend to get shot to death, and you just pretend like you die. And then once they put your ass in the morgue...
Yeah, but they're going to notice when you stand up and walk out of the morgue.
Well, they might. Morgues have closing hours,
okay.
too.
Yeah,
but they have cameras.
Okay, here. They'll notice more if you die in a public way, and then you're out, than anyone ever will hunting you down online through photos.
Yeah, hello?
I mean... You know, and I still
you
think
you're just you really are the worst supervillain ever.
Hey,
you can't even
trial
fake
and
your
error.
Own. It's trial
we're
and error.
Overestimating the care of the general public. Where you're going to get caught is the IRS.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. That's why you have to really think about when you reinvent yourself, your identity.
You have to set up a birth certificate that's, you know, certified. You have to give yourself
some sort
of social
security. And you have to pay your taxes. You've got to keep up
yes.
on your taxes.
Well, between ages, you'd have the first 18 years where you wouldn't have to worry about it because technically your character would be an infant through teenage years. no taxes would be paid.
But see,
upon
each
that
life
child.
That you come up with, each identity, you have to overlap with your current yeah. identity. So you're yeah. going to be paying double taxes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come up with birth records for yourself every time. And yeah,
or you
so
can just
you're
move to some fucking backward
and
ass country
you
where,
say,
you know.
Like, it's not easy to be off the grid. So you have to be on it, and you have to be on it perfectly.
See, what you have to do, I think, is you have to hire a series of accountants that handle all your finances mm-hmm. so you never touch it. So they're responsible for the taxes. You get whatever money comes in. Once you've set up your essentially your bloodline money.
Just yeah. live off your interest, yeah.
They handle the taxes. You just check in every once in a while. But you also make it to where each identity that you go gets linked to that account.
Right.
So you essentially establish an heir.
Yeah.
Which is you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all that money moves to the next life. But again, you have to do it at a certain point to where when that heir turns 18, they have access to that account.
Right.
So when you get to your time of death, you know exactly how old your heir is, so they can have access to the account for 30, 40, 50 years until they name an heir.
Right.
They have another 20, 30 years. They die, and the new heir takes over.
Right.
And I would say keep your wealth modest, because if you have, like, just billions upon billions of dollars, and people are going to start noticing, like, who is this heir? What is this person doing?
Right.
So you'd have to keep it modest. Enough to live off of your interest, but not so much to where you're uber rich. Because
see, I think you would actually get away with more if you were uber rich.
Well, and on top of that,
because you could afford the protections.
But at the same time, an average lifetime amount of money, like, for instance, I want to say that I think I did the math. If I work until I'm 62 years old, I would have accrued, had I never spent a single dollar of anything that I've earned, I will have accrued something like $3.3 million throughout my entire life. So you figure that's 65 years worth of funds, essentially. So if you're to hand that off to an heir who will essentially have, let's just say, 60 years of, you know, income wealth, that's about average. That's your median. I'm not uber rich by any stretch of the imagination. Matter of fact, I'm still pretty much, you know, fighting my bills.
See, I actually think
that wouldn't be enough to just rest on your laurels at that point.
I think, actually, that you do your liquid assets, your cash flow, modest enough. But where your wealth really lies in property.
Yeah.
Because yeah. then you've got a place for each heir to live.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you did it like a realtor, or not a realtor,
and what
but
you,
a like an apartment complex company, like one of the ones like Berkshire Hathaway or whatever, mm-hmm. where they deal with a lot of housing structures and one like that. Not only would you have a place for your heir to live, but you would also have a business to hand off.
Well, you could also do that the same way. You could flip houses. So you buy a house, you live in it for however long this
incarnation
of your immortality lives. When that one dies, you get your broker to sell the house. You take some of the money and you pour it into the next house, and you're slowly building your wealth over a period of time. And then you start doing two or three or four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then you start getting houses that you keep that, okay, this person lives in and they die and the house passes on to the heir.
Right.
Or you rent it out or whatever. I mean, I think the way you go is you do the real estate game.
I what I really think
and you do it
missing
worldwide.
Here, the biggest, easiest answer is we just need to get hooked into the black market. Because false IDs, fake IDs, fake companies,
well, obviously
money laundering.
You're going to have to do that regardless because until you become an expert and get all the stuff you need to create.
Yeah, you just find out who's the guy who does the thing and then find out how he does the thing, then have him off and take over his position. It's a black market. Tattle on me, I dare you.
Okay, here's a question. So we're talking about immortality. Would there be anyone you would tell? Like you were talking about having having someone handle your finances. Like, you know how vampires have like a Renfield.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so they have a Renfield. Would you have your own Renfield?
No.
You know, honestly, no. Because those people are going to eventually pass on.
Yeah.
But more so than that, I think at one point or another, like I was saying, you know, I would live out this life until the people I knew and loved all passed away, and then I would try to move on to something else and start, you know, taking on immortality by my own. And having somebody who would essentially be like a thrall to me would be
baggage.
Opening up the idea of more people getting involved. No, I know, but he was his stooge. He was his number one go-to guy for rando stupid shit.
I think living a life of immortality, you are going to, it's human nature, you're going to crave that companionship. But I think if you do it in such a way that you establish...
Yes, it's called swipe right.
I think if you establish that every incarnation that you are is mobile, you never lay down roots.
Yeah. Well, that'd be hard if you were running real
estate. So you can correspond, especially in this day and age. Email is an amazing thing.
That's trusting other people to handle your business for you.
Yeah, but if they fuck up, you kill them.
Again, and now it's my circle background where it's like, well,
well, you're talking about the black market anyway.
I'm just saying. But again,
but no,
I mean,
it's like,
solo. I don't think I could have somebody run with me.
But you have to do it. You have to allow other people to handle things for long enough until you learn the ins and outs of everything that you do. So for at least five generations.
But business is business.
Business is business. But
having somebody there on a daily basis is another thing.
Yeah, but if you establish if you learn the ins and outs, then you hire people to handle the day-to-day.
It would be a touchy
and you just,
thing.
Again, you just realize, with every life you live, for lack of a better word, you learn how things work and you get an idea for what's coming. So every time you just establish a new corporation to handle all your shit. And then you hire people who handle it and they just never see the CEO. Or the president of the company.
See, and again, a lot of it would be trial and error, I think. At some point or another, you would get to
a
point where you'd have to figure it out.
Probably the first five generations, it's all going to be trial and error.
I would say even more than that. I would say you'd probably live for about 200 years before officially figuring it out.
That's probably five generations. Four or five.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could have three generations of a family member live through one person's lifetime. In the respect, so I don't know. Again, I would say it's just a long, long process to get to that point. But again, if you just decide to say fuck it and disappear
into
the woods,
but you're immortal, so it doesn't
shit.
Fucking matter.
True. True enough.
You just have to figure out what works for you. I mean, because you could just spend all of your immortality pickpocketing and live off what you pickpocket. The problem is cash is getting rarer and rarer.
And you'd get caught eventually.
So what you have to do is figure out how to back end into bank accounts and figure out how to just kind of skim that you know, half a penny.
And again, it would take me even longer to figure that out.
No, you just start working in banks.
Just dark web. Dark web over here. Anybody got some deep web?
I don't know. I think there's ways you can do it.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And again, it's a matter of, I think, the funnest part.
But I think the biggest thing is going to be the learning curve. The however long, however many generations it takes you to figure out, you know.
And you might not figure it out. It might keep changing so much that you never get ahead of the curve. And so you just kind of do what we do, which is live day to day. And when you start getting into that 10, 15 year mark at your work, you quit. You move to another job. And once you get past like the should be like 60 year old, you quit. And oh, he passed away in the night. And
but see, here, going on with what you were saying earlier, with the body being able to heal itself, you don't need food or water or anything like that. So all the money you make is going to go for whatever next life. If you want to spend it all traveling, all that money you made in the last life from your job.
God, you could be a fucking saint. Could you imagine what would happen is if you actually did
could
start
you imagine
working.
If you became the Pope?
Well, no, not even that. Not even that, because that really wouldn't do you much any favors. No, I'm talking about what would happen if you became like the CEO of a company or even lower that than that, but only just, and you were making ridiculous amounts of money, but you lived in essentially a shoebox off the fucking interstate. Because you don't really need it, you know, it's not that important to you. So you literally banked every dollar you ever made throughout the course of your entire career. And then you decide to early retire at like 55, and you have amassed fucking millions and millions and millions of dollars just because you never really needed to use any of it. Could you imagine the amount of good you could actually do with that?
Dude, you could feed a third world country for like a year.
Dude, fuck real. That's what I'm talking about. It's like you could do some saintly shit.
See, but that's the thing. I mean, you're immortal. You reinvent yourself every single incarnation of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You could go the full spectrum from fucking saint to the devil himself.
That's what I would be looking forward to.
In a generation.
And then I could spend, you know, 100 years contemplating my actions and then go out there and decide if I want to do things differently.
I mean, just imagine that, being able to understand humanity as a whole because you've lived every single aspect you could.
Quick question, though. Samantha, you play video games?
Sometimes.
All right, so you understand the skill tree for most games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my boyfriend's a... He games a lot.
All right. So I have a question for the both of you. Considering our immortality, what would be some of the human traits that you would revel in becoming the most proficient at? I mean, it's like, would you learn how to manipulate people so well they literally didn't know it was happening? Or would you get to the point where... Well, duh. I'm saying other skills that aren't mastered yet, Samantha. Fuck.
Why do you think this podcast is still going?
Your timing is impeccable.
But again, it's one of those
things
where...
Didn't even wait for it. Already do that.
You just go for the kill right away.
Right. Just right at the throat. But again, what skills would you guys... try to hone? Would it be physical, mental, what?
I think it'd be all. If you're immortal, why limit yourself to just one?
Yeah.
What would be your first favorite to go after then, I guess? Like, what would be the first skill that you've always wanted to hone in and wanted to get it to absolute perfection?
The Force.
Yeah, good luck with that. We're immortal, fucktard, not magicians.
Kind of the same thing, isn't it?
No. Apparently Jedis die and then turn into Force ghosts and then turn into farts in the wind, so no.
See, I don't know. I think it depends on the situation. I think when you first realize that you're immortal, you have to figure out what you're going to do for the next 30 years before you have to reinvent. You have to start thinking about at least two lives ahead.
Essentially, yes. But I'm talking about what would you essentially do? Like for me and you, at this point in our time, we could spend the next 60 years mastering an instrument or all instruments. Mastering music.
I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano.
Your hand dexterity. I mean, just stuff like that. It would constantly stay the same. Your muscles would never get bigger or smaller, but you would know the techniques better. And mm-hmm. if you had, you know, I mean, I think I've been playing now for maybe 16, 17 years.
And you're still shit.
Dude, still shit, but I'm fucking miles better than I was when I first picked up the son of a bitch. So you figure in that time frame, it would probably take me a good 60 more years to get where I genuinely feel like I have mastered my instrument. And so again, stuff like that.
See, that could actually be my first goal. It would be to sit down and write the
grand opus.
Essentially, yeah, a song that will live on forever.
Almost as long as you.
Almost, yeah.
Well, yeah, and then you're there to see it, so you can keep bringing it back, you know, like.
You guys heard this song?
Like, guys, this remember this
thing
song?
Is my jam. Jesus Christ, you dude, that's like 100 years old, man.
But yeah, I mean, she's right. I mean, you could ensure its success just by, you know, every 40
constantly
years or so,
it out
just kind of.
It's like, oh, you guys remember this? Nimby? But again. So, like, that would probably be the first thing I would try to tackle is not just music in general, but I would probably run, you know, everything from music theory to how to fucking construct instruments better. I mean,
see, I think my first thing is I would go and learn at the feet of Samantha on how best to manipulate people.
Samantha, if you had eternity, though, would you spend that time learning how to manipulate people, or would you learn how to do something else?
Oh, me, I'm with you on learning like a skill. I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano, so I think that'd be fun. I'd probably hone maybe some of my artistic skills, as they are not great. When I was in school, all of the advanced, like, seniors got first pick of what classes they wanted, then juniors, then sophomore, then freshman. So when it came to your, you know, electives, all the art classes that I would need or wanted to take to develop skills were taken by slackers, seniors and juniors that wanted their easy A. So when I went into art school, they're like, you know, I was told, hey, you have a great eye, but you're physical, like your skills are, like, we could see the potential, we see where you're going with it, but you're hindered by a lower skill. So I'd probably go back to stuff like that.
That's fair. So James, your first official?
Oh man, I don't know. I think it would be cool to master an instrument or a plethora of instruments, just because that's, you know, where my heart lies. But
what, you're telling me you didn't want to learn how to juggle pins while riding a unicycle with a horn in your mouth?
No, that's my second incarnation.
Okay. Because I was going to say, at one point or another, you know, we got to get on that.
But at the same time, like, I think being able to sit down and actually write and complete a novel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would be... just
how
awesome.
Bad do you think you would procrastinate knowing you had eternity?
Holy shit. That was
I spent 500 years at the first the.
I procrastinate bad now. I think it would just continue on as is.
Right.
Eventually I'll get around to it. I got eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one will be around to read it, but fuck.
I think that might actually be one of the other issues that I would run into is inherent laziness. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a get-up-and-go kind of attitude when it's stuff I want to do. But I will say, like, today, for instance, perfect example. So I got off work early today. I was off, and I think I was home by about 10:30. And so my first thought, it's a beautiful fucking day. I was like, you know what? I should go wash the car. It's been needing it, and it was like, you know, I wanted to get it vacuumed, all that shit. And I was on my way to the car wash, and I was like, fuck, I need to stop by the house and pick up some quarters because the vacuum machine takes quarters. And I was like, all right, so I just stopped by the house. And I walked inside, and I looked at the couch, and I looked at my video game, and I was like, ah, fuck it.
Car will be dirty tomorrow.
Dude. And my logic was, well, it's going to fucking snow on Tuesday, apparently. So whatever. Who gives a shit? So I decided I was just going to let it go. And I ended up sitting on my ass playing nothing but Skyrim, which is great because I have fun doing that. But that also means the project that I wanted to get done doesn't get done. Now, that being said, having eternity under my belt, at what point do you stop doing maintenance because you're just like, I don't even fucking care anymore.
No, see, here's what I think happens. I think we've lived our lives up until this point where we're suddenly immortal. And we look at, I think the initial thing is, I can fucking rest. I don't have to do shit.
But how long are you going to rest before
it becomes habit? I think it depends on the individual. I know for myself, like if I were to sit down, like if you gave me, you told me today, I don't have to work, you're going to live forever. You don't have any more worries in your life. You can do whatever the fuck you want. I think I'm on my ass maybe a month before I'm fucking bored.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know.
And I think honestly, looking at it from an immortal point of view, I think that you're going to go through periods where you just don't want to do shit.
Yeah.
And you'll go for however long until you're fucking bored. And you reinvent yourself, and then you start working your ass off for whatever it is until you're burned out. And that may be a year, that may be 10 years, that may be 50 years. But eventually you're going to go, you know, I just want to play fucking Skyrim.
Yeah. Just play until the electric bill goes out and it's like, God fucking
damn
it. But
I think if you put the premise right now that a wizard comes and grants us immortality right now, I think honestly I would just like, the first thing I would do, get some fucking sleep.
Right.
Yeah. Again, for me, it's a matter of, like, this life. Again, I'm running under the pretense that this life is led until I'm going to go ahead and say my nieces and nephews have passed on. And that should be, with any luck, like, you know, 70 years from now. But it's one of those things.
So
where
you're going to reveal that you're an immortal right away because they're going to notice, you know, Uncle Danny's just not aging at all.
Well, I would have to get it to a point where I would, I would either confide in the family members I trusted
to keep my secret. I couldn't even do that.
Well, it's not like they're not going
to
know.
I hate to say it, but like, I love my wife, but there'd come a point where like she's going to figure this shit out.
Oh no, my wife would be the first
to drive my car off a fucking cliff.
No, my wife would be the first one to
know.
And
I'd make sure that she was set for life, but it's like I can't. A, because I couldn't stand watching her age and die.
Yeah. And for me, I couldn't stand the idea of her aging and dying.
Well, you're going to have to kill her then.
Well, no, and it's one of those things too where it's like my wife would be the first person I ever let know that this was the situation, and I would have to back it up because, you know, honey, guess what happened to me today? I'm immortal. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Do the dishes.
See this gun?
Again,
nothing.
It would have to come to that point, but at the same time, she would be the first person to know. But the coolest part is...
Yeah, but then you have to live through...
Wait, you couldn't get immortality for me either?
Wait.
Obviously, the rules of this game are applied that we cannot take anybody with us. But it's one of those things where I would let her know that. And honestly, for me, I would just continue my life as normal as I possibly could with her.
She's going to end up resenting you.
Possibly. But I'm going to keep her smiling and laughing right up until the very fucking end if I have anything to say about it. She's earned that much at least from me. And if I got cursed with this shit, it wasn't my fucking choice.
So within 5 days, this every day, son of a bitch.
My wife has already established that she would never want immortality.
Until you get it.
No. She
and
genuinely
she
said she would not want
no.
it. Not at all.
She'd laugh and be like, sucks to be you.
Essentially, yeah, because that's how we come down.
She'd throw your ass out.
No, she wouldn't. And again, it's one of those things where this is the type of, you know, relationship that I have right now, which I don't think I would ever be able to confide in someone quite as much as I do my wife because I loved her before I knew that I was going to last forever. And having known that, you know, I knew that there was a life to be lived and a life to be ended. But time that was valuable to me was that time spent with her. So after she passed away, I don't think that I would be willing to even start to try to find somebody like that ever again. I think at that point I would become very on my own. And I don't know how many years it would take me for me to warm up to humanity again, because to be
fair... There's no way after I ended things with my wife that I would ever get into anything super long-term serious.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I could...
Just like I said... Yeah. You get that attached, and suddenly it's like, I'm in this for the long haul, and I'm going to watch this person wither and die and have to do it over and over and over and over again. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to get my bang on and move on.
Well,
at that point. It's like, there's...
But at some point, wouldn't that become almost so mundane that it didn't bother you anymore? Because after you've watched every other person you've ever loved away, or knew that they passed away...
Because you're still human at your core.
Yes, but eventually, wouldn't you get numb?
No.
Yeah, I think you start to lose that.
I think you would. Enough time passed, enough warfare, enough, you know, battles, enough fucking people you love getting torn apart by car accidents, drunk drivers. Eventually, I would imagine, after 200-300 years, you would just be like, you know what? Humanity are my kitties. And they last as long as they last. And after they're gone, they're gone.
No.
It's sad, but I move the fuck on.
No, that's fucking...
It's cold, but you get that.
It's psychopathic way of thinking.
You get that
to
that
point, though.
Yeah,
but you turn into a psychopath eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Mm-hmm. I would imagine you'd have a break. I mean, just out of sheer principle, the human mind is not built to last this long. So even after 200-300 years, even if you do have your shit together or you have something to distract you, eventually either the monotony of it might get to you, the depression of it might get to you, something would break through. Because as you said, we are human and we're not meant to go this long. So if you do manage to make it 1,000 years, I would be baffled to see you in anything other than a rag on the street, scratching your head, just laughing to yourself, shaking violently, you know, while staring at
flying
cheeseburgers.
Well, in 500 years, we'll all meet up again, and we'll see who's fucking sane and who's not, okay?
But again, it is a double-edged sword as far as the way I've seen immortality. However, I'd love to give it a try.
Sign me up. Okay, with that cold and disgusting fucking thought, we're going to call this one good. Ish.
End it with a fart. All things are better.
Hopefully you guys have not turned this off. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcaster.